I want to talk about invitations. If you were given a all expenses paid hunt, Brett, to go hunt elk at your favorite place, would you take it? Yeah. Now, if Sean, his whole family, had a all expenses paid trip to the Final Four, and Duke and North Carolina was playing, you'd be there, wouldn't you? Matt, I know that if you got a call from the president and he requested your presence at the White House to help honor one of your brothers that was fixing to get the Medal of Valor, you would be there, wouldn't you? It's a great invitation. One of my favorite invitations that stood was going to Grandma and Grandpa's house for Christmas. I just loved it. Those homemade apple pies and peach pies and cinnamon rolls and just everybody being there and loving on each other and just a wonderful time. Those invitations are very valuable, you know. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but right now I want to talk about value. How people are valued. The definition is the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance, the worth, or the usefulness of something. Now, some of these numbers are debatable, but I kind of tried to ballpark it. Here at Wheeler, we've got our elders, we've got our deacons, we've got our evangelists, we've got several speakers, we've got many veteran soldiers of Christ, and we've got some babes. So who do you think's the most important on that list? Who has the most value? The reason I started thinking about this is there's three things that was on my mind. One was an old story about a young man, a teenager, that had obeyed the gospel. He was from a poor family. He had two suits of clothes. He had a pair of work overalls, and he had a pair of church Dickies overalls and two shirts. Okay? Came to church all the time. But on this particular Sunday morning, he sat down in front of a couple of women in the church, and I guess they thought they were speaking where he couldn't hear. I don't know. But the comment was made that, can you believe that kid coming here dressed like that? He don't need to be in here. He's not dressed right. He don't have any respect. That kid left and he never came back to church. He died. He didn't come back to church. He didn't feel like he was valued. Okay? Another instance that happened very recently. A congregation had many new converts. Okay? They were blessed with converts. Many people obeyed the gospel. These people that obeyed the gospel were not from the same racial group that that church was made up of. So, this influx of converts, new babes in Christ, almost equaled the original number that that congregation had. Those people began to treat those new converts with contempt. Okay? Made them feel not valued. Some of them left the church, and in the end, that church split in two, that congregation, because those people were not valued. And the last and final situation would be something that was said this past week. Another congregation has doubled in size like that. Some of the original members that were getting up and leading songs and helping with the table. Some of them were helping speak. The lady folks back there cooking and taking care of people, visiting people. Some of those people don't feel like they're valued like they used to be because there's a new influx. There's more people. The responsibility is shared. So I kind of want to address that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Praise God, because those of us who are feet, we're happy. We're one body. We're one body. And we do not function properly unless every single member is functioning. We cannot function optimally. If the foot's hurting, if the small toe's hurting, that's a bad way. Any of y'all that's had that know. Acts chapter 10. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation, okay, there's no room for differentiating in the church, in the body of Christ, based upon somebody's pigment level in their skin. There's no room for it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. We all have value. This list here, from 1 to 6, you could take 6 and put it at 1. We all have value. The elders have a job to make sure that the church is fed and to protect the flock. The deacons, the officers of the church, all have responsibilities. The speakers have responsibilities to provide lessons that teach and edify and admonish. The soldiers of Christ have a responsibility to visit the sick, visit the poor, help the poor, to spread the gospel. See, we all have responsibilities and we're all valued. That number 7 there, the visitors and the non-members of the body of Christ, what value do they have? You know, got in a bad habit there for a while of when the kids, especially Ethan, would want to go to the movies with a group of fellas or go camping with a group of fellas. And I knew one of these guys was an idiot. Okay? He wanted to do stuff. He participated in things that were not godly. Okay? And I would make the comment, watch out for so-and-so. He's not worth a plug nickel. That's what I'd say. Or he's worthless. We really need to be careful about that. We really need to be careful about it. What I should have said was be a leader, not a follower. Be an influence for good. Don't follow. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much value a non-member of Christ, a non-member of the church has. Christ died for him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords gave his life on the cross so that we sinners might have hope of eternal life. So who has value? Every person on earth has value, according to God. I want to speak about the individual that values you and values every human on this earth. His hunger is unquenchable. The devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He desires you. He values you. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Your soul is valuable to the devil. And you see what he wants to do with it. His invitation is power, riches, fame, pleasure, popularity, freedom. That's what he promises. And you might even have some of it right off the bat. But you see, the power turns to futility. Have you ever heard of a person that had power? I mean real power. That died right. I'm talking about real power, ungodly power. I can think of a few. Riches. I'm not speaking bad on riches. But ill-gotten riches. From the wrong motivation. The love of money. Turns to poverty. Fame, how many people do we hear about these Hollywood, they're falling left and right, these stars. They're just, the skeletons come out. You see. Pleasure. I've known so many people in my life that just, they love drugs. They love alcohol. They love sexual immorality. It's fun. That stuff's fun at first. Until it gets a hold of you and enslaves you. That pleasure turns to pain because you never can reach that initial euphoria. That initial happiness. You have to do more and more. And it consumes you. He promises popularity and freedom. It ends up in loneliness and slavery. That's what the devil promises, but he don't ever deliver. He don't ever deliver. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. It's a hard way. It's a hard life. We're talking about this life here. We're not even talking about the next. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 67. And counseling with a fella that's got problems with this kind of stuff we're talking about. That's what he said. Just make it stop. Just make it stop. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. You wake up in the morning and you wish the day was over. You go to bed at night and you wish the night was over. That's hell on earth. Okay? That's what those things lead to. I'm going to tell you a story about a friend of mine. His name was Jasper Davis. And I don't believe he's with us any longer. He came to my dorm room at college. He's a year older than me. Okay? He was pretty much all world. He had a chance to make a living playing a sport. He came to my dorm room about a year after he graduated. I was a senior, knocking on my door. And I opened the door, and this guy that had been 6'3", muscled up, just was nothing. I mean, he was sticks. In 1 year, he was 120 pounds. Face sucked in. I hadn't seen him. I didn't know anything about him. And he said he stunk to high heaven. I mean, stunk. I don't know how long it had been since he bathed. He said, Hayes, can I borrow $20? I really need $20. And I said, man alive, what happened to you? He said, oh, not much. I'm just kind of down on my luck. And I said, well, you want to go grab a bite to eat? So we went down to this place called K&M, I think. It was like a hamburger root beer joint. And we went down there, and I bought him a burger. He wouldn't eat it. Just sat right there in front of him. And I said, man, what kind of dope are you on? This dude had taken his life and just, he'd smoked it up. He started using this crack cocaine, smoking it. I don't know why he did it. And he was married. He lost his wife. He lost his future. He lost his health. And that's what he said. Just make it stop. And that $20 was going to make it stop for just a little bit. Because that was going to help him not feel anymore. Okay? Just for that little bit of time. He's no longer with us now. His soul had value. John chapter 8 and verse 44. You have your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's what the Word of God says. He's a liar. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see what the worth of that is? You could own all of Wheeler County. You could own all of the great state of Texas. You could own this whole world, and it wouldn't mean nothing if you lost your soul. That's the value of one soul. Okay? I want to talk about the king's invitation. I'm going to talk about the most valuable invitation that any of us will ever receive. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then Christ says, Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. They all made excuses. Felix, over in Acts chapter 24, verse 24, After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled, and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. How many people, when the gospel is shared with them, say, I got to think about that. I really need to go and make things straight. I need to go correct things with these people I've wronged that were enemies. And then I'll come back. Then it'll be convenient to accept the invitation. I'm going to tell you something, friends. That time never comes. Conveniency. Jesus Christ is the one that makes all those things right. King Agrippa, over in Acts 26, starting in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. It's another one of those excuses. I don't know enough to be a Christian. All I know is that Christ came down this earth and lived a perfect life, and He died for me. I believe that. And I don't want to be like I've been. I want to change. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But I can't get in that water yet. I can't do it. Because I don't know enough. I don't know what all this stuff is about. What it takes to be a Christian. I don't know that. Luke chapter 14 and verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Those men refused the invitation. It was their decision. And for various reasons, they deemed themselves unworthy to come to the feast. Throughout Acts, we have examples of those who hasten to obey the gospel. Saul of Tarsus, when he was given the invitation to be buried in baptism, he got up and he did it. The Philippian jailer, how much knowledge did he have of Scripture? I would argue not very much. But when he said, "What must I do to be saved?" and he was told, he did it. He didn't have to study about it. The Ethiopian eunuch had to have the Scriptures explained to him. It was explained to him, the gospel, what Christ had done for humanity. They saw some water on the side of the road, and he was baptized that same day. Thousands in Acts chapter 2 and 41 and 4 and 4, thousands obeyed when they were told what the Christ had done for them. They didn't need to be extremely in-depth. They didn't need to have the extreme in-depth knowledge of the Scripture that was available to them at the time, which was the old book. They didn't need that. Now, are those things good to add to your armor later on, to your weaponry? Oh, you bet. All Scripture is given. It's profitable. But to obey the gospel, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. Okay? All it takes is a willingness to submit, to humble yourself before the Lord and make a change. That's all it takes. All those people in Acts, they had several things in common. They were told the gospel. It was preached to them. Christ died for our sins. And they all followed a pattern. They heard that Christ died for their sins. They believed. They repented, turning from their old ways. Every one of them. They confessed Jesus as the Son of God, and they were baptized into Christ. They were added to the church. Not by man, but by God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."